2019, Austin, Texas. I skid to a stop in front of the door to Voodoo Donuts and check my hair and clothes twice before deciding there's no use trying to put this shit show back together. Laura, my caseworker, will see right through me. I glance at my iPhone. I'll make this quick, give her 10 minutes tops. I throw open the door. Laura's face beams when she sees me. And even though I'm a soggy mess from the rain, she hugs me full force, enveloping my slight and bony frame into her tall, athletic one. At 23, she's a few years older than me, and only a couple years into her job with social services. We've met twice before, and as far as caseworkers go, she's the most likable one I've had. Laura keeps her hair cropped short and bleached and wears a skort with a tank top. Her muscular arms and shoulders lean with sinew. She's pretty, even though she doesn't try to be. Confident and positive, tough in a way I'd like to be, but capable of being soft enough when it matters. After we hug, she adjusts her canvas messenger bag, which overflows with paperwork, pamphlets, and an inordinate number of tissues, as if she's ready for all her clients to burst into tears. But no one cries at Voodoo Donuts. Whether it's the smell of icing, the bright yellow windows, or being embraced by another human being who is warm and smiling, I feel less sleepy and anxious than I have for the last 24 hours. I order 2 donuts. Intending to eat one quickly and keep the other one for later. The O Captain My Captain, which is topped with vanilla icing and Captain Crunch cereal, and an Old Dirty Bastard, laced with chocolate frosting, Oreo cookies, and peanut butter. Laura turns to me at the counter and confesses, "I love the names they have, even though sometimes I get embarrassed ordering them." She scans the pastries in the glass case and turns to the cashier. 1 voodoo doll, please. The employee hands her a donut that's shaped like a person with a pretzel stick poking out of its heart. Crimson icing pours from the wound. Chocolate sprinkles form X's over the eyes. "Poor fella never had a chance," she says, removing the pretzel and eating it quickly. "There. Curse removed." I get the feeling she purchased the stricken donut because she felt sorry for it. After she pays, we sit down at one of the multicolored tables. "So, Biscuit, how you holding up?" Laura asks. I suspect she uses nicknames to put her clients at ease, to make them trust her. It works, too, in that easy southern way that disarms people. I wonder what it would be like if we were just 2 normal girls, dishing about classes and crushes over lattes. But I remember what's real. She gets paid to meet with me. "Long night," I say, then realize what she's really asking. "Oh, right, midterm exams. Yes, good, totally ready."
"Looks like you're limping. You hurt yourself?"
"Oh, that," I say. "I was at a party, totally hammered, and I fell off." Laura puts her hands over her ears. "La la la, can't hear you. I'm begging you. Please do not tell me any details. You're 20. Underage. I'd have to include it in my report."
"But you wouldn't, right?
Just don't put me in that position." She looks serious.
"Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I'm just doing what every kid my age is right now. Hanging out with friends, going to parties."
I like the way it sounds. Normal. "Yeah, I'm not sure about that."
"I mean, I never did," she says.
"Well, you didn't have to meet with me today. You could have made an excuse." She takes a big bite of her donut, wipes the frosting off her cheek with the back of her hand, and leans back in her chair.
"Sure, because ditching meetings with social services at the last minute would somehow work in my favor."
She ignores my sarcasm.